Thank you for the opportunity to share with you this morning. So I want to ask Minka to put up the photo. So some of us might identify with this picture. And when I've posted this picture on the elders group or on the AV group, a certain elder immediately said gout. So he just revealed his age, and you can just follow my eyes. So I don't know if Brian suffers with gout. Okay, so. But I can identify with this picture. So it's not my, so it is actually my left foot, but it's not my big toe. So the toe next to my big toe, I can ask Jaden, what do you call it? It's the conid toe. So they call it my conid toe. So next time when I come to church with pluckies, all of you are going to go, you're going to look at my feet. And I go like, no, eyes up. No, don't look at my feet, eyes up. But so we stayed in Ladybrand, and that's before we had kids. And I think, I don't know how it happened, but something got stuck in that toe, the toe just next to my big toe. And I thought, it's fine, it will come out. And went to see a doctor friend of ours. He said, no, man, there's something in there, so just go for x-rays. So I went for x-rays, they couldn't pick up anything. He said, no, it must be a wart, a sulfurat wart. Is that what you call it? I said, okay, that's fine. So he gave me stuff to put on to get this wart out. It didn't help. I forgot about it. Because it's not like really sore. It's 99% of the time, I don't even feel that. So like now I can bump it, I don't feel it. But every now and again, I bump it on exactly that spot. And I know there's something in there. So it's, most of the time it's fine. But sometimes it's just that sore. So we moved down to Cape Town, moved down to Somerset West, and I had to take one of the, I don't know which one of the boys I had to take to the doctor to remove some of their warts. And I thought, okay, well, let me just go with, so that they can do exactly the same with me, just remove the wart. And the doctor said, no, man, that's not, this is your sore front, that's not a wart. There's something stuck in there. I said, I know there's something stuck in there, but they couldn't pick it up on the x-rays. So I said, it must be a piece of glass or a piece of wood. I said, okay, well, then just cut it out. So this is like 13 or 15 years after it happened. And the doctor said, no, I can't cut it out. That, whatever's stuck in there, is already part of your body. It's part of your toe. If you cut it out now, it will do more damage to your toe than good. So you just have to live with it. So I'm living with this conid toe. And so this morning I want to talk about soft hearts. And it's such a picture of our hearts sometimes, that there's things in our heart that's so part of our heart that to cut that out will do more damage to our hearts than anything else. So this morning I'm going to talk about soft hearts, and as you can see, it's something close to me to talk about that. So in the Bible, there's a few stories about hardened hearts and soft hearts. So I'm going to talk, just show some examples, because we go through life and stuff happens and we get stuff stuck in our hearts, and whether it's offense or whether it's people looking down on us or work or family or friends or leadership or experiences from previous congregations or churches, but we get stuff into our hearts and then we build walls around our hearts. And the very thing that we try to build to protect our hearts from being hurt again is the very thing that keeps us from the fullness of God. And it's like that, my cone-head toe. So I know you will never get that picture out of your head. You won't. But it's like that cone-head toe. 99% of the time, you will walk around with a little bit of hardness in your heart, and everything will be fine. But there will be some days where somebody just touches that piece of your heart that's hardened, and you think you protect yourself against hurt, but it's actually when people touch that, it's sore again, and it reminds you of previous hurt. So I'm going to talk about that. And there's a few scriptures and actually in Acts. So I gave Minka the last scripture that I gave is Acts 7:54, just to show you what happens when you've got a hardened heart. And this is just before Stephen got stoned, the first martyr of the Bible. It's the King James Version. It says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. So they were like really angry. And this is when Stephen were before them. Stephen spoke to them. And that word, cut to the heart, in your translations, your Bibles, it might say, they were enraged. Like, they were really angry. But that word cut there is, if you go and, so Uncle George, if he would have been here, I would have checked with him. It says to saw in two, or to divide by a saw. So just in your minds, picture Texas chainsaw massacre. Sorry, not just a chainsaw. Just a chainsaw, not more than that. Just picture that. Another scripture. So this is when Peter and the apostles started to preach. So they were in the, I think they were in the streets busy preaching. They got arrested, brought in front of the Sadducees. The Sadducees were really angry with them, put them in jail. That evening or that night, the angel of the Lord came and freed them. Peter and the apostles got freed, went to the streets again, started to preach again in the name of Jesus. And then these guys thought, okay, but where are they? And the officers went and took them. They didn't arrest them, but they took them back to the council or the Sadducees. And then the Sadducees said, actually ordered Peter and the apostles not to preach in the name of Jesus again. And then Peter said, I'm not going to obey you, I'm going to obey God. So let's read what it says in Acts 5:37. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. They were actually on their way to kill Peter and the apostles. So that word cut to the heart there, also in your translation, it might say enrage. It's also the same thing. It's to saw in half or to saw in two. So just imagine a piece of wood with a saw and you start cutting through that piece of wood. There's a lot of wood chips, there's a lot of splinters, and it's just wood flying everywhere. So it's not a very clean procedure. Just think again about my cone-head toe. If I have to take something out of my toe now, it will do more damage to my toe than good. They had hardened hearts. Actually, for the word to penetrate, to go into their heart, it would have been a messy procedure. It wouldn't have been a clean procedure. And the people, in the one instance, they actually stoned Stephen because their hearts were so hardened. And also, yeah, that was Stephen, and also with Peter. Their hearts were so hardened that they wanted to kill them, and actually somebody else came up and said, don't kill them, and they were saved at that stage. So we have two instances where hardened hearts were there, and we see that the word came And it was almost like an effort to get through to them because of hardened hearts. It's like hearts of stone. So now let's go to, before you go to Acts 2:37. So here we see Peter preaching and people are responding, and there's about 3,000 souls being added to the church at this time. So if we can look at Acts 2:37. So now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Now this cut to the heart is like a prick. If you can imagine a needle, it's just a prick on the heart. And change came about. 3,000 souls got saved that day. Because why? That soft hearts. Because of soft hearts, it was a perfect surgery, touching a specific spot in the heart, and change came about. Just imagine, you can't prick a hard thing with a needle. You can't go like, it won't do anything. You need a saw. So look at the difference. Soft heart, small prick, big change. Hard heart, a lot of effort, a messy thing that's going on. A lot of wood chips flying around. Remember the chainsaw, that kind of thing. So what are we talking about this morning? The title of my message is Soft Hearts. We're talking about soft hearts. So the what this morning is? Soft hearts. But why do we need soft hearts? What is the purpose of having a soft heart? Thanks for asking, Skulk. But so if we can go to Colossians 2 verse 2. Colossians 2 verse 2 says that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. Now that word knit, just imagine if I've got a hard heart and Blackie's got a soft heart. We can't knit our hearts together. There's no ways that you can knit a soft heart with a hard heart. You can't do that. So why do we need soft hearts? Maybe to explain it a little bit better. So with all the rain falling, this might be a good explanation. So when rain falls and there's a few drops falling and it falls on the ground, it forms a little puddle. Those raindrops loses their identity and becomes a little puddle. But then more rain comes and that puddle combines with another puddle. And then it starts to become bigger and bigger and bigger. And then eventually, with more rain, more puddles come together and starts to form a little stream that flows. And then you get a few other streams that's combining to form a little river. And then this river flows into the sea and we've got this huge body of water. So that's being knit together. It's our hearts losing its identity. Becoming one in Christ. Having a new identity. Because of our soft hearts. Just imagine a few drops decide, no, we're going to isolate ourselves. We're going to build our own little dam wall, which is going to stay there. Those few drops are going to evaporate in no time. But the drops that decided to fuse together, that's the word there, it's to fuse together. It's like welding two pieces of iron together. To fuse together, if those drops decide to fuse together with other drops, other puddles, other streams, other rivers into the ocean, I don't think in our lifetime the ocean will evaporate. But when we isolate, when we harden our hearts, when we build walls around our hearts, it's easy to isolate ourselves. And that's what the devil wants. He wants us to isolate ourselves, to have those hardened hearts. Let's go to Colossians 3, 14 and 15. Verse 14 says, "And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." It's like a symphony. It's not an instrument by its own. It's a whole orchestra, a symphony. Verse 15, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." That word peace there is harmony or concord. So I'm Afrikaans. I had to look that up, what concord means. So that's the opposite of discord. So concord, you know, just listen to it. Concord is together heart. So let the peace of God, let the together heart rule. So can I have Skulk up here? So it's us together. It's us being knitted together like this. And then we can have Stephen up here also, and Craig, and we are all knitted together. Craig, you can come up. Stephen, and we knitted together. But if one of us have a hardened heart, I can't go. I can't knit in with Craig because of a hardened heart, a piece of my heart that's hardened. Thank you guys. So, and now just because I know what we're thinking is, okay, I've got a hardened heart, or I've got maybe not a soft enough heart because of offense in church, or maybe it's towards my spouse, or it's maybe because of my kids or at work. But that little piece of your heart that's hardened, even if it's towards a boss or towards your dad or whatever that is, that piece of hardened heart affects the whole body, because you can't really knit together, because we can't knit soft things with hard things. So what are we talking about? Talking about soft hearts. Why are we talking about soft hearts? Why do we need soft hearts? For unity. Psalm 133. "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." And skip to verse 3. "It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded his blessing." It's for the sake of unity, so that we can see the blessing of God just come through the congregation. So why do we need soft hearts? For unity. To have together hearts. Hearts that's fused together. How do we do that? Thanks, Mark, for asking. So we'll just go to the next scripture. How do we do that? And I'm almost done. So if we can go to back to Matthew 5, verse 8. And I started with that this morning, which says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So we already discussed that to see God is that beholding God. As it's our responsibility and our privilege to behold God and to see Him for who He is. And at exactly the same time, it's God revealing Himself to us. But before that, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." What does that mean? That means a heart purified by fire. A heart that is pruned. We need soft hearts. And that pruning can be anything from the Word of God. We know that the Word says that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword that cuts through our hearts. We need that in order to have soft hearts. How do we get soft hearts? By sitting under the Word, reading the Word of God, having the Holy Spirit speak into our lives. And having brothers and sisters correct us. So, I must confess, my kids correct me very often. They're like, every now and then, yes, Papa, I wasn't by cool, yeah. And I have to have a soft heart. So it happened on Friday, actually. Friday at youth, we played some games, and I'm just that good, I never lose. I don't lose, even if it means to intimidate a 13-year-old boy. I won't lose. I'm very competitive. So Jaden just came, actually red also. She came, she said, you're not allowed to play games anymore with youth. It's just, and I'm because I go into this mode where I want to win. But we have to listen to our kids. So I actually had to say, you know what, you're right. You're right. I was very competitive. And I wasn't a very pleasant person on Friday night. But we need those soft hearts where even our kids can come and say, Dad, what you're doing now is not cool. And you know what? I'm so thankful. We've been friends for like 15 years, me and Skull. So you can come up again. I'm going to use him as an example again. So I'm going to, we're like brothers, hey? So we can stand like that. So for 15 years, we've been friends. And many times, he's seen something in my life where he said, that's not cool that way. You need to sort that out. And sometimes I can't even see that. I couldn't see it. And he touched that part of my conate toe, that part of a wall that I've built around my heart, that I go like, no, 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 no. Skulk, it's full nonsense. Yeah, prat nonsense. You're not talking the truth. But then when I asked the Holy Spirit, he would come and say, you know what, you need to sort that out. Why? Because if we want hearts that's knitted together, I need to listen to that. And that's why we have people, we have leaders, we have elders, we have friends, we have family to speak into our lives, to say, that's not right. So we need that in our lives. So, how? So the first is, what are we talking about? Soft hearts. Why do we need soft hearts? To have together hearts, knitted together, unity, so that the blessing of God can come, so that we can actually, when we behold God, can see God. How? By always being at a place where our hearts are soft and pruned. And such a beautiful example of this is David, just after he sinned with Bathsheba. And the prophet came to him and spoke to him. And then David had this soft heart where in Psalm 51, verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within in me. Where David goes, Lord, I know my heart needs to be soft. Come and take away whatever is in my heart that's not of yours, because I want to have a soft heart. And then further on in verse 17, it says, the sacrifices of God. So this is David speaking. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. That's the sacrifice. If we want to sacrifice to God that is well-pleasing, it's a broken heart before God. A heart that is soft, so that we can be knitted together and have that unity together. And I know I've used the examples in Acts 5 and Acts 7 of those hardened hearts where it was difficult to get in, where like a chainsaw was always needed to cut through. But Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27 says, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." That's what I believe for this morning. I truly believe, and maybe if the worship team can come up, I truly trust that God will come this morning, and in areas where our hearts are not soft enough, that He will come and remove that part of our hearts that's not soft enough, and that He will put a new heart in us. So I'm going to share a few stories this morning because we want to pray for you and for each other this morning, for softer hearts, because we need that unity and we need that together hearts in our congregation where hearts are knitted together. So this might be applicable to some. And to be honest, I think all of us, the whole congregation, need softer hearts. It's not just a select few. All of us need that. So we still have these friends, but it's a few years ago, one of the dads came to us and he was struggling a bit with his teenage boy. And he sat there and he cried and he said, "I love my son, but I don't like him very much." And at that moment, you could see there's almost this resentment building up inside of him, a hardened heart towards his son. And this morning, there might be some of us that's got a little bit of a hardness towards our children because we can't do what we used to do. And it's a financial strain on us or something like that. We need those hearts to be sorted out this morning. Softened. So this is that's the one thing that I want to speak about. The other one is, and I'm going to sort of combine it. In the beginning of the year, so just to be vulnerable, I struggled with that. So I could literally feel. So at a moment, a specific moment, I remember writing it down in my journal. The one morning I woke up and God said, "Andre, you are busy building a wall around your heart towards leadership." I thought, and from there on, I had to check my heart the whole time so that I don't have a heart or not. So that happens to us. I'm sorry, I'm just vulnerable. And if we don't sort that out quickly and ask God to come and speak to us, that can become big problem. Because, you see, when we build up those walls towards leadership or towards our kids or towards our parents or our bosses or a previous church, those walls create blind spots. And we don't see what we don't see. And we don't even know that there's sin taking root. Just remember, if like a soft heart, you can put a hook in and you can just pull it out. But if there's something hard and there's a wall, a hook can take hold of your heart there. So we need those softened hearts. And I shared this with Red when she came back from her hike, that while she was away, Because I really want to go before God and say, God, is there anything in my heart that offends you? Because I don't want a hardened heart. And it's as if during that time, the devil just comes and he just puts these thoughts in your mind. And I could literally feel how the devil attacked me during the time when she was away. Me almost building a wall up towards my wife. And I go, where's this coming on? What's happening here? And then it would take me a few hours praying and just pressing and saying, but that's not true. And then something will break and I go, but that was stupid thoughts. But if I've let that go, I can understand and see how spouses can shut each other out. Just by hearts that's hardened and walls being built up.